Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
You know, once upon a time, there were some parents and some grandparents and maybe some people who didn't have children, but they loved the children of their village. But we had a group of people who brought all of their children to see Jesus. They wanted him to pray for them, to lay their hands upon them, to bless them. Now, the disciples were being particularly pious at that time for some reason, and they kind of thought maybe it was not a good idea for Jesus to be bothered by the kids. And so they said to the parents, take your kids away. This is not the time or place. Move them along. And Jesus caught wind of that and put a stop to it. Now, this is not exactly the way the Bible expresses his words, but I tend to think that the Bible maybe soft-pedaled what he really had to say. Because I think Jesus probably said, what are you doing? Are you kidding me right now? Leave these kids alone. Because these kids belong here. And then he went on to say this, for to such as these, or to people who have faith like these children, the kingdom belongs to them. So don't send them away. Now, the passage there in Matthew 19 goes on to say, when he had placed his hands on the children, he went on from there, which means that's where he started. He started with the kids, he laid his hands upon them, and then he moved on into the rest of the crowd, you and I, the adults, as though he were saying, okay, we've just caught wind of what true faith is like. Maybe you guys can catch on. He went on from there. He started with the kids. It's interesting to think about what the kids were doing. They wanted to be with Jesus. The parents knew the kids needed to be seen by him. The disciples thought it was not a good idea, and Jesus set them straight. Let's pray real quick. Father, we just pray that you will teach us this morning about the kingdom and who belongs, who gets in, what it is and where it is. We just pray that you'll reveal through your word some important information for us to understand about the kingdom. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our children have something that we have all lost when you think about it. Childlike faith, innocence, wonder. As we get older, not only do our bones get a little more brittle and our muscles get a little more cantankerous, but our understanding, our faith, loses its flexibility. We have the tendency to kind of get rigid in our thinking. And children maintain this innocent air, this understanding of who Jesus is. For example, if you were to ask a child about the resurrection of Jesus, that child would school you in the resurrection. They would explain it, no holds barred, this is how it happened, this is what's going on, and we would have to accept their wide-eyed wonder. Many of us kind of get tripped up with some of the tenets of our faith. I know some Christians who believe in Jesus with all their heart, but they still have some misgivings, some doubts about whether or not Jesus really was resurrected from the dead. I mean, it's a hard place for them to go for some reason, and yet it's one of the tenets of our faith. Well, just like the resurrection can kind of trip some adult thinking up, so does the whole concept of the kingdom. Where is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Isn't there a kingdom of heaven? Which one's which? Where is it? When does it take place? Who gets in? What's it like to live there? Is it the same as heaven? All of those questions are questions that we have, and we talk about the kingdom, but we don't really understand it. So once in a while, I think it's a good idea for us to ponder and talk about the kingdom, because we actually are going to spend a lot of time there before we get to heaven. and I want us to understand what it means. Let's turn to Luke 17. And here's the good news. The Stump kids put all the Bibles back into the pews several weeks ago, so you don't have any excuse. Grab one of those Bibles, open it up to Luke, and you can follow along. Matthew's gospel has always talked about the kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke talk about the kingdom of God. John doesn't mention the kingdom at all, except he does say, he records Jesus' words of saying, "Abide in me," which is really kingdom living. But we're going to be spending some time this morning in Luke 17. The kingdom is the realm over which Jesus reigns. He is the king of the kingdom. The kingdom is also where you and I live in relationship to him. When we spend time with Christ, when we spend time with one another in the name of Christ, we are in the kingdom. The kingdom is generally considered to be one of the central themes of Jesus' teaching. And so we want to learn about it because we need to understand it. Listen as I read. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in our midst." The kingdom of God is in our midst. The Greek can also be translated as saying, "The kingdom of God is within us," or "within you." The New Living Translation puts it this way: you won't be able to say, "Here it is," or "It's over there," for the kingdom of God is already among you. Contemporary English Version says there's no use saying, "Look, here it is," or "Look, there it is," because the kingdom of God is here with you. And the King James says, and I like this, "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here, lo there.'" Isn't that great language? "Behold, the kingdom of God is" where? "Within you." It's within you. There's no special place on the planet where we can say that's the kingdom. There's no region, there's no political structure, there's no denomination or movement that has a corner on what the kingdom is. The kingdom is in us, individually. The kingdom is among us as a community. The kingdom is the church. We live in the kingdom. We are the church. We house the kingdom. Each one of us are part of the kingdom. What we find in this passage in Luke, and I'm not trying to turn you on to studying in Greek, you don't have to do that. I enjoy it, but nobody has to enjoy it. But the Greek word entos can be translated as among, and then the next word, hemon, can be translated as you. It's among you, but it's a first person singular, which means you. Not just us as a group, but you as an individual. The kingdom of God is among us and in you. So there is a community aspect of it. There's a personal aspect. It's in us. There's also a here and now aspect, because Jesus is saying it's right here, it's right now. But there's also a yet to be or a future aspect. Jesus told us in Matthew 8, "Many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." So there's a future aspect of the kingdom that's yet to come. And before Jesus was born, an angel appeared to Zechariah, the priest, who also was the father of John the Baptist, and he was explaining who the Messiah would be, and he said this to Zechariah: "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." So a future aspect. The kingdom is the fulfillment of God's will here on earth. It's the eternal domain where we all will live with him. But here's the thing. The good news of Jesus, the gospel, that Jesus is here, was sent to forgive us our sins and to bring us salvation, that's our current day message. It's the kingdom mission. We're supposed to tell everybody about who Jesus is. So the kingdom is right now. But we're to bring as many people to faith in Christ as we can so we can all go to the perfected kingdom in heaven. It's this here and now, this community, but also this personal approach to the kingdom that I want to talk about this morning. The here and now kingdom, the kingdom that is our community, the church, is something we inherit in this world. We actually read that about that in Matthew 25. Jesus is talking about inheriting the kingdom. And when he says that to us, Jesus is using that terminology to let us know it's not something you get because you worked so hard at it, but it's something you get because it's a gift. You're going to inherit the kingdom because you belong to Christ. You are a joint heir with Christ. So we're going to inherit the kingdom, but he talks about it from the standpoint of those who are going to inherit the kingdom are those who are willing to sacrifice to belong, those who are willing to surrender their lives to Christ. So there's something about this being fully and completely committed to Christ that brings the kingdom to life in us. Jesus taught us this, Matthew 16, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? The word life and the word soul are the same word in the Greek. If you want to find your life, give it up to Jesus, and your soul will be saved, and your life will be full. That's what that passage is telling us. Whoever wants to will lose it, and whoever wants to find their life and gives it to the Lord will find their life and find their soul. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is made up of people like you and I who have surrendered their lives to Christ. Now, the kingdom is not about an earthly region. It's not about a political structure. It's not about nationalistic pride or accomplishment. It has nothing to do with geopolitics. Now, this is a dirty word in some geopolitics, but Christianity is a global thing. Because guess what? All of us have brothers and sisters in Christ who were born in, raised in, and live in Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and Iran, in China, in Russia, in Mexico, in Colombia, in Panama. All of us are brothers and sisters in Christ, and all of us are the church, and all of us are the kingdom. See, it has nothing to do with politics, has nothing to do with national borders, it has to do with who we belong to. And we all belong to Jesus. And so we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that is the kingdom here on earth right now. The Jews of Jesus' time thought of God as their king. They understood kingdoms, and they understood him as a king. They got that. But when Jesus talked about the kingdom with the Jews, he never mentioned the supremacy of Israel. He never said, you know, you guys, you're the cat's meow, and you all have it right. He never mentioned anything about that. He talked about the kingdom in terms of the whole planet and all who followed him. The Jews at that time believed they were Zion, the people of God, and they lived in Zion, the city of God, and they thought a lot of themselves. They were, in fact, the chosen people, and we read that in Scripture. They are. Pastor Bob preached about this a little bit last week. They are the chosen people, but here's the thing. They weren't chosen for privilege. They were chosen for a purpose. And the promise that God gave to Abraham said, you will be a blessing to the nations. They failed in that job. And so we read about this, and the Apostle Paul tells us there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ. And hear this, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're the blessing to the nations now. The kingdom of God, the Christians, the people all around the world, we are the blessings to the world. We're to be a blessing to all nations. And when we read about that, when Jesus said, all authority in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me, therefore go and preach the gospel to all creatures or to all nations. The word nations is ethnic or ethnos in Greek. It means all ethnicities. So when Jesus sent us out, he said, go into all the world and make the gospel known to every ethnic group you can find. So Jesus' teaching on the kingdom is that it comes to life in you and I. And the work that Jesus had been doing now falls to us. Now, I grew up in America. I remember hearing about kings and, you know, even now, people, you know, stand in the line at the grocery store reading People magazine to find out what's going on with the royals over in England. We are captivated with whatever's happening there. I think probably because we're really glad we're not mired in all that anymore. We fought a war several hundred years ago, a couple hundred years ago, to get free of a monarchy that did not represent us or did not care for us, all right? That's the War of Independence. So we fought that war. So most Americans are like, kingdom? I don't know, that word kind of scares me. But here's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our king. And he is the king of his kingdom. He's a king with no rival. The Bible says he's king of kings. So all kings are under him. No rival, no equal, no limits. He has absolute dominion and control over his followers, you and I. But he's also a king who loves and forgives and shows mercy without limit. And that's the king we follow and the kingdom we live in. The kingdom is his people here on earth, living in the world, but not of it. The kingdom is Jesus living in us through his Holy Spirit and us living in unity with one another. The kingdom is the church all over the world, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, growing in our faith, being spiritually formed to look and act just like him. It may be a little difficult to explain, but it's a real thing. Now, Jesus did want us to help, he wanted to help us understand his kingdom, so he would use a figure of speech called simile. A simile is where you use words like as or like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And then he'd give us a word picture to help us understand. So these come from Matthew. I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who plants good wheat seed, but an enemy comes along and plants thistle seed right on top. The good and the bad seed grow together until harvest. The thistles are collected and burned. The wheat is collected and placed in the barn. The kingdom of God is like a small pine nut that gets planted. As small as it is, this pine nut grows into a powerful, tall pine tree, and the eagles make their nests in the top of it. The kingdom of God is like yeast that a baker works into the dough to make dozens of loaves of bread. And as the baker is patient, the dough does in fact rise to make good, tasting, fluffy bread. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field for years that is accidentally found by a passerby who spots that treasure and then sells everything he owns to purchase that field to possess the treasure. The kingdom of God is like a jeweler who finds a pearl of exceeding size and beauty and value, and he sells everything to get that perfect pearl. You see, Jesus uses simile, the kingdom is like, to help us understand. But these are difficult concepts for us. Parables are difficult to understand. They're meant for us to take home and think about and chew over until we figure out what they really mean. So let's think about that for just a minute. The kingdom in the here and now has Christ followers living side by side, shoulder to shoulder with people who don't like Jesus. What we want to do is get rid of them. But the parable says, no, you live together until you are harvested, and then Jesus will separate the good from the bad. Until then, you rub shoulders with those thistles and see if you can't turn them into wheat. Because it happens. That's what Jesus does, is he transforms sinners into saints. Yeah. So that's what we do. And we go, I'm not sure I get that one. How do we love unlovable people? Well, that's what the kingdom of God is like. How about this? The kingdom grows from something small into something big. It starts with you, then it includes us, and then we all link hands and shoulders and arms with all of our brothers and sisters around the world, and now it's something big. Starts with you and becomes global. The kingdom consists of leavening. The good news is poured into the world, but it just starts small. And it's a painstaking process, a patient process. But we tell people about the good news of Jesus, and then it moves and it changes, and people's lives are transformed. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is a treasure of great value, a value that says to us, I will give up everything I am, everything I own, every agenda I might hold, every plan I might have to be there where Jesus wants me to be. Great value. Jesus said this in John 15, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you bear any fruit, be of any value, unless you abide in me, Jesus said. But I want you to go back to the story I started with, the one about the kids. The disciples said, no, not time for kids. Jesus says, oh, yes, it is. Let them be here because the kingdom belongs to people who have faith like these children. We need childlike faith. To most fully enter into and live life in the kingdom, we have to have hearts like children, winsome, flexible, forgiving, welcoming, forgiving of others to a fault. Think about how our kids are. We need to learn from them. Unfortunately, they tend to learn from us. But let's let them teach us how to be adorable and winsome and flexible, forgiving people. To most fully enter into and live life in the kingdom requires that we have to have faith like children. Faith like children is unstoppable faith. Ever try to tell them... I'm not even going to say it because there might be kids here, but, you know, old St. Nick thing that we sometimes, they can be teenagers and still say, Mom and Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. But because their faith is so genuinely open, wholehearted, to enter more fully or most fully and live life in the kingdom, it requires that we love like children. Children love people unashamedly. Unconditionally. They don't care anything about what they look like, skinny or fat, young or old. They don't care about skin color. Unless they learn all that from us, and then they might care about those things, but no, they should be schooling us because they love unconditionally. To most fully enter into and live life in the kingdom requires that we think like children. Children understand God. They understand his generosity. They understand his limitless love. They have no problems with that until we tell them, don't love that much or don't give that much. Don't be that generous. When we teach them the limits, they learn that so terribly well. We need to learn from them. It's a childlike approach to faith. And when we find that this childlike approach to faith makes sense, we have this realization that the kingdom is a very personal spiritual formation process. Each one of us, very different. Dallas Willard wrote this, our soul is like an inner stream of water which gives strength, direction, and harmony to every other element of our life. When that stream is as it should be, we are constantly refreshed and exuberant in all we do, because our soul itself is then profusely rooted in the vastness of God and his kingdom. I think Dallas Willard said it very well, but I think Jesus said it even better. This is what Jesus said from Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Instead of worrying about everything in life, worry about living life in the kingdom. Give yourself over to that and seek the righteousness, the right standing with God. And the rest of the details will be taken care of. If you live righteously, he'll give you everything you need. Righteous or righteousness could be defined as his way of doing or his way of being, his attitude, his character. That's what living life in the kingdom is all about, is being just like Jesus, as much as we can be, letting him shape us and form us, doing everything he requires, being concerned about his kingdom, being concerned about what gets his approval instead of what gets our approval. The Douay Rheims Bible says it this way, and other translations say it this way too: seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice. I remember seeing that one time over at Lord's College in the cafeteria. They have this beautiful stained glass window that stands between the people who are eating and where the food is, so you have to walk by it every time. And it says, seek the kingdom and his justice. And I always thought, that just doesn't make sense. So I did a study. I did a word study. And the word that we translate most of the time as righteous or righteousness is in fact the same word that is translated as justice in the Bible. In other words, the right standing with God requires justness and justice in the world. And so if we act justly and preach and live out justice, we are in fact living out a right standing with God. The kingdom, if I can summarize, is his people on earth, you and me, our brothers and sisters around the globe, living in the world but separate from it. The kingdom is Christ Jesus living us in us by his Holy Spirit, because that makes us all one. And then it's us abiding in Christ, personally and in unity with one another. The kingdom is Christ's church. We're a part of it. Many other congregations around us. We may worship slightly differently. We may read different versions of the Bible, but we all have faith in Jesus. Around the globe, we're all part of that same kingdom, that same church. Life lived in the kingdom is vibrant, it's inclusive, it's filled with love, it's filled with peace. So I want to read to you from Matthew 11. And this is from Eugene Peterson's translation. Normally, are you weak and heavy laden? You know, if whatever, that's the old version. I want to read this new version. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, Jesus says. Come away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it, Jesus says. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's kingdom living. We're part of the kingdom. The kingdom is here, right now. Yes, it'll be perfect later in heaven, but right now you and I are it. Let's live freely and lightly. Let's pray together. Father God, we just pray that you will help us lean into life in the kingdom happily, joyfully. Free us up. Help us feel like we're part of one another. We can't wait to serve you and serve one another and the people around our world. Help us be kingdom dwellers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.